What's going on, everybody? It's John Barr with Prime Homes bringing you another episode of the Investor's Journey podcast, where we're going over our monthly market update. To where if you're tuning in this on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button and you click a like and you share this with somebody and leave us a comment if you have any other questions. I'll pop in there and answer any questions anybody might have over the content that is provided. And if you're looking to get this stuff on the go, make sure you go wherever you get your podcast from and subscribe to an Investor's Journey podcast, where you will not only get these market updates, but you will get all kinds of other tips and tricks that John and I are using in our business to help us grow and along our journey to become the professional investors we aspire to be. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this month's market update. So here we go for August 2020's real estate market update. Like I said, it's John Barr prepared for by Prime Homes. So for this month, average sales price increased to $302,000, which is a 9.86% increase year over year. Median sales price up to $254,900, which is a 12.3% increase year over year. Seeing a 12.3% increase year over year this late in the real estate cycle is something for me being in real estate and a data guy is actually really exciting to see prices increasing like this, especially for all the economic conditions that we currently have going on. Where traditionally June is where we kind of peak out and then prices start to fall off leading into the colder months. But this year, I mean, real estate market is taking off like an absolute rocket. And you'll see in the next slide where you'll see that things are just really taking off. And it's kind of out of the norm based on the traditional cycles to where these last 2 months in a row, we've gone up just shy of $21,000 in the last 2 months in the median sales price. So that's something that if you're a real estate person, if you're flipping houses, you're a landlord, it's really good to see that prices are increasing. Appreciation is really taking off to where we never say buy on appreciation and appreciation alone. It is always kind of the icing on the cake to where you will get a lot of money year over year in appreciation, as you'll see in some of the later slides. Total sales volume absolutely took off to 4,200. That is a new record high for the San Antonio market. And that is a 25% increase year over year. And so that's what I'm saying about this real estate market is absolutely insane. Average rental price is at 1582, which is a 1.3% increase year over year. Employment is just shy of a million. And that is a 6.2% decrease year over year, which is no surprise, but we did gain back 75,000 jobs from the previous month. So that's exactly what we want to see. Unemployment for the month of June was at 8.5%. And the decrease, that's a 4.23% decrease from the previous month. And that's exactly what we want to see. We're hoping July, when that information does come out by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we will see that the unemployment rate is continuing to drop and it's not leveling off or hopefully really not increasing. Months of inventory, this is the number that just really blew me away when I first saw this, is that we're less than 2 months of inventory here in San Antonio. July was sitting at 3.31. And this is a 0.34% decrease from the previous month. But keep in mind, the unemployment number is exactly what we as real estate investors to judge, like where we are at as far as buyer-seller market. The balanced market between supply and demand is supposed to be sitting right around 6.5 months of inventory. And what that really means when I say months of inventory, it means how many months would it take to consume all of the inventory on the market based on how, if the exact number, no new houses were listed and the same absorption rate continued as it moves forward. So to see 2 months of inventory when there's like 8,000 listings on the market is absolutely insane. If you're a real estate agent or you're listing houses, I'm sure you're not having any problems if you're a listing agent getting offers on your houses. But if you're a buyer agent, I'm sure you are just having a heck of a time getting your offers accepted for the fact that there's so much competition. We've listed some stuff in the last couple months that we pushed the prices higher and we got the appraisals and everything, because you'll see in this next slide that how fast appreciation is really taken off. And this low months of inventory is a big thing you'll see in my market update of how we really judge where we're wanting to go, where we're wanting to buy, and what we're looking at when we buy a house and looking to sell it here in the next 3-4 months. So like I was saying, median sales prices have just really taken off. If you can follow the mouse here, you can just see how it is just taken off like a rocket, which is not common for the last several cycles that you can kind of see through, where we kind of head up in June and July, level off, and then go down, or right here, this is June, July, August, and then down into the colder months up in December. But this year, it really just took off. And I'm assuming it's, or I'm going to speculate that it's a lot of this pent up demand, that the sales volumes that really dropped in April, those people still want to get houses. And if they still have a job, they're going out and buying. You have a lot of people moving around, going from apartments up into housing, and especially with these extremely low interest rates. That is exactly what's going to happen, is it's going to drive pricing up with lower interest rates and low demand. So for the future, until the government stops pumping money in or unemployment goes back up, we don't know. I expect prices to continue to rise for the next couple months at least. Monthly rents kind of dropped a little bit, but we are still higher than this time last year. So that's good to see, up that traditional 1% up to the 1588, I believe I said. But remember what we're looking at here and how you can really use this data if the first time you're tuning into this. And if you are tuning this first time, please click the like button and subscribe so you can make sure you check this stuff out every month that we put this out. But what we're looking at here is our real estate cycles. And same thing as the previous month, why it goes up in the summer, down in the winter. Rents follow the exact same thing, to where when you have a lot of people moving around, school is out, that's exactly what people are going to do. So for us, we love to rent and create our leases to where we always have our leases ending in March, April, May timeframe, because that catches right at the bottom, right before we start hitting that next wave of housing, that when we get our new leases, we want them to end to where we can have time to get them on the market, do any kind of rehab we need to do, get them on the market. So that way we're getting that next premium rent. And if they move out again, we get them on that next cycle to where we might be able to push rents when a lot of people are moving around and we have a better chance of getting a higher rent and a good tenant. But the word of caution, make sure you spread them out. Right now, we made the mistake, if we had like 4 or 5 rental properties, we made them all end on March 31st. Well, then think about that when we had 3 of them move out all at once. And then now I had 3 make readies need to do, get 3 houses back on the market, screen 3 new tenants at the exact same time. So now we spread them out between March, April, and May for the time being, because we're still only sitting at less than 10 rental properties that we're self-managing. I could see it becoming a problem if we got more rental properties to have in that inventory, but just be careful of how many properties you end on the exact same month. So here we got the unemployment rate, and you can see what COVID-19 has done, just absolutely blew the unemployment rate out of the water for the last 20 years. I mean, we hit over double, hit 7.5 last time, and we just hit just shy of 13.5 here in San Antonio. But what we're looking at here is prices really dropping off. And what I want to see continue is that price continue to fall back closer to historical average or getting back down in here. I do not want to see it level off and kind of sustain a above average unemployment rate, because if people don't have jobs, they're not buying houses, and that can weigh on the real estate market long term. And that's one thing I always tell people, is unemployment rate for San Antonio is a leading indicator. Real estate follows the other markets. So you can see in from the previous slide how the last recession ended around, or bottomed out around 2012, right in that cusp of December. But the recession ended in, or the bull market for the stock market ended December or March of 2009. So there's always a lag that you're going to have when it comes to when the economy seems to be recovering and when real estate prices tend to bottom out. So seeing this big boost in, or this big rock jump in unemployment rate worries me long term. If unemployment rate does not continue to fall at a very rapid rate, especially when the government stops pumping all of the money and the stimulus into the economy. So that is what I'm going to be watching long term. So that's something I really follow, is the unemployment rate for this area, on what I think and what we think housing is going to end up doing. So what we have here is the long-term year-over-year appreciation going back to June 2011. And you can see how we're this last time, and that 12% year-over-year appreciation is the highest it's ever been coming out of this last recession. And like I said in the previous slide, This is where prices were falling, and the stock market stopped falling in March of 2009. So you're looking at a 2-3 year lag time for when real estate bottomed out of the last recession. And like they always say, the recessions aren't the same, but they do rhyme. So that's why I watch unemployment rates and appreciation rates over the long term. So what we're really looking at here, what I'm following, is what is the overall long-term trend of the appreciation for real estate. And I was saying that it was seemed like it was starting to squeeze down long term, but now with what has happened recently, it started to really climb up again. So that's why I want to track this long term to see where the appreciation rate could go if we're slowing or speeding up as far as year over year appreciation. So now the favorite part where people love is the where to market. I don't know if John with his new squirrel picture is trying to indicate how my hair looks when I go too long without a haircut, it kind of poofs out the side, but this is our little friend that we're using for a little bit. So now when it comes to where to market, we judge things by two different ways. We go by price range and by zip code of using that supply and demand kind of thing I was talking about, a month's inventory. Where is the most in-demand housing here in San Antonio based on the price range and the zip code? Out of those 4,200 home, where is the bulk of the housing being sold? Because we consider that kind of your entry level, most in-demand housing. So that's where we want to spend a lot of our time with our properties, is really focusing on where, especially for rental properties, we like to below where the bulk inventory is being consumed, because that tells us that those houses are receiving the most demand pressure for entry-level housing, where prices can rise faster than in some of the higher price ranges. There's more competition. So with that, let's kind of take a look at this stuff. So a lot of this you're going to see is we just have extremely low months of inventory once again. And to see some of this stuff, to have over half, almost half of the number of houses sold, or actually over half of the houses sold being below 2 months of inventories, is absolutely insane. So in that 150 to 200 price range, and that 200 to 250 is where we love to stay. But now it's seemed that, hey, that trend is starting to get up in the 250 to 300 range. Extremely low months of inventory and an absolute, just a ton of inventory is being sold in that price range. So for us, we love to stay in this $150,000 to $300,000 price range for our renovations. And for our home purchases for rental properties, we love to be in that 100 to 200 price range, because they're receiving a lot of pressure to have prices increase over the long term. Now, the other way we look at this is lowest months of inventory by the zip codes. Where are the zip codes that people are wanting to be in the most? So what we tend to focus and look for renovations and rental properties in those zip codes, and we have a couple in these zip codes for that exact reason. And you'll see a 233, we have one that we just picked up, just finished renovation, just rented out. And why we're holding on to that is because the months of inventory is so low and there's so much demand for that housing price. As you'll see here, that 78233, where over the course of 3 years, prices have gone up almost $30,000. And that's why I kind of put that on here, as you can see, really kind of understand what these low months of inventory really mean and what they do to prices over the long term. To where here you're looking at 78251, where prices have gone up almost $50,000 on the average sales price in just 3 years. You got 30,000 in 78233, and several of these zip codes have been in the top 10 zip codes for since I've been doing this. I know I recognize 233, 247, 250, 244, 249, and these are not small zip codes, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, these are very large zip codes with a lot of housing stock. They're not new developments. A lot of them are existing homes that are actually turning over. So that's why we love to focus in these zip codes. Now, I do have the full list. Oh, let me make one note here, is there wasn't $145,000 of appreciation in 78227 from 3 years ago to this year. Basically in August, what happened is there was just no houses for sale in that zip code, but now you have a lot of housing stock. And that is pretty common in the kind of lower tier, lower price zip codes. That's something I have noticed when I go back 3 years, where a zip code, like, nobody really moved into that zip code 3 years ago. But because of where housing prices are now, they are starting to go to that area just on where they can afford. So you might have houses. Now, this is an average, remember, of 145. So some houses might be selling at 120, some might be selling at 160. But that's why you're driving to that zip code, is from where it was 3 years ago, is because of the housing prices. Highest months of inventory, you see the same thing, to where this is crazy as well is where you go back 2-3 months and look at some of my previous market updates, you'll start seeing some of the stuff getting into the sixes, or some of these zip codes getting into the sixes in the highest months of inventory. But now, this isn't to say these are bad zip codes. Now, you just want to use this as a tool where right now, having this low of inventory everywhere below that 6.5, it really just shows how little inventory there is on the market and how fast this market is really moving based on the sales volume and what is being listed. But now, in a traditional kind of setting where we go back to last summer, some of these zip codes were sitting in the 4 or 5 months of inventory in the zip codes. But that's why you really have to keep this in mind of what is your competition level? And that's one thing I always preach. When you're looking at 4, 5, 6, 7 months of inventory, it's not to say they're bad zip codes, because you still get appreciation of over the long term in some of these zip codes. But you need to make sure you look at what your competition level is, because that means there's that high months of inventory means there's a lot of competition. So if a buyer really wants to go to that price range or that zip code, you need to understand how much inventory, how many options does this person have if they're stuck on this zip code or they can afford only in this price range. So you really want to look at that stuff. But now if you're in a zip code or in a price range and doing a renovation, you need to go and look at the other houses in your area. Look, if you're not an agent, if your agent doesn't want to take you around, look at Zillow. Go through and pick, go through the pictures and see where did they put their money to where you, when you list your house, you're not one of those houses sitting on the market for 4, 5, 6, 7 months. Because as real estate investors, we borrow money to do these projects. Typically, we aren't buying cash. So every month we sit on the market is more insurance, it's more taxes, and it's more interest. And interest is that big one. In Texas here, especially, we have high property taxes. Or if you're sitting in the market for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months at a $300,000 price range, that could be almost 10 grand just in taxes off your bottom line. So you really need to look at this stuff to where if you have high months of inventory, put more money into the kitchens, the bathrooms, do professional staging, get professional pictures to make sure your house moves at a very quick pace. If you have any questions for me specifically, or you're wanting a copy of any of this information, shoot me an email over here to at john@primehomes.com, and I can send you any of the information that I have. If you want the full list of inventory or full list of zip codes of the months of inventory, go ahead and shoot me an email. I could send that back over to you. Check over to our podcast to get an investor's journey and get all of our tips and tricks. Shoot us a like on social media, and we'll be sure to respond to you and interact with you guys and engage with you guys, because that's one thing we like to do is pass our knowledge on to the next generation or the other people that are just getting into this industry. Because John and I, we started from not knowing anything in this industry and learned by watching other people and having them pass their knowledge on to us. And that's exactly what we try to do between all of our content on social media, all of our content that we put out on the podcast, our newsletter, it's all there. So if you like this video and you want to check out some other stuff, make sure you click the link above right here to see how exactly we go about flipping our houses and how we analyze them and work on the projects. So we will see you guys next month, and hope you enjoy the video.